May it please the court, my name is Matthew Pack and I represent Johnny Alfonso Garland, the appellant in this matter.
May I ask you at the outset, please, how you preserved this assignment of error?
That's a good question, Your Honor, and I appreciate the question. Number one, we believe that we preserved the error because we did a motion to set aside a jury verdict.
But that was just on insufficiency, am I correct on that?
Partly, Your Honor, but partly it put the trial court on reasonable notice at the time of the error. This is a very unusual case. I know Mr. Sansone, I probably won't be as eloquent as Mr. Sansone, but say unusual cases, this is unusual. And the court has an extraordinary opportunity in this case because this is a case where someone has been convicted or found guilty by a jury without being properly instructed by the jury.
Let's stick on the first point. Can you point to where in the appendix I can turn to see that you objected to the conviction based on erroneous instruction?
Your Honor, I can't point to an exact place in there other than what we've already alluded to in our brief, which was the motion to set aside jury verdict. And if the court would see in reading our brief and looking at the record, what had happened is that both the Commonwealth's attorney and myself had a no lesser included instruction. There were no lesser included instructions in there.
You made your motion to set aside when you believed it was possession with the intent to distribute.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then there was an exchange that was had with the clerk, which included Ms. Owen, the deputy clerk, that confirmed that it was simple possession of cocaine rather than with intent to distribute. So then reading from your exchange with the court at that point in time, sorry, Your Honor, so then with regard to the motion to set aside the verdict with possession of cocaine, Your Honor, there was no actual possession, and obviously the knowledge could be imputed. However, there were no circumstances in that case where it could be found where he could have been found with cocaine. And, Your Honor, similar arguments as we made in our motion to strike, Your Honor. So how does that preserve the instruction issue?
And Your Honor, again, we believe that the charging instructions were possession with intent to distribute or not guilty. So at the time that I make the motion to set aside jury verdict, I'm making that argument. Obviously, the court is aware at that time when she and the clerk rereads the verdict to me. And I believe that it was at that time that actually the court was put on notice that there was an error. So we believe that we preserved our error at that point. And certainly if the court says that if the court finds that was not, then we believe the ends of justice applies in this matter. That's what we put in our brief.
You made the comment earlier that both you and the Commonwealth made a deliberate decision not to instruct the jury on possession.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, explain to me then why a verdict form was sent in with possession.
Because, Your Honor, and this is outside of the record, so this is nothing that
Let's stick with the record.
There's nothing in the record that indicates that. However, that the instruction that was agreed upon and read to the jury from the trial court had no lesser included.
The jury was instructed as to the elements of the offense, were they not?
They were instructed.
They were instructed on possession with intent and a requirement that the Commonwealth prove an intent to distribute. They were instructed on what constitutes possession. And then they were giving a verdict form that allowed them to convict for either of those two offenses. What were they missing? What were they not given that they had to have in order to reach this verdict?
Your Honor, I believe that the verdict form that they were given was erroneous to the instructions that they were instructed. Much like the Jimenez case, where the jury was improperly instructed, this jury was properly instructed. However, they were given an erroneous verdict form, which was not created by myself or the Commonwealth.
I don't understand why it's erroneous. It's clear that possession is a lesser included offense to possession with intent, and the defendant doesn't get to pick and choose which offenses go back to the jury.
Your Honor, it's our contention that it's not so clear that the instruction on the crime itself was possession with intent to distribute, and those are the factors, or elements. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you, counsel, but are you saying that what had to have happened was a waterfall instruction, one of these instructions that talks about possession with intent and then says if you find X, Y, but not Z, then it's just possession?
Yes, Your Honor, because that would be the model instruction. And that was a model instruction we actually redacted by agreement.
But didn't the instruction that defined possession essentially say give the elements of possession without having that other part?
It did give the elements of possession for possession with intent to distribute. But again, our argument set out that it's the with intent to distribute, and it was an all or nothing, go for broke instruction.
But I come back to where, give me some case law that says the defendant gets to decide whether a lesser included offense goes to the jury or not.
Well, Your Honor, certainly there is with the 19.2 with the homicide instructions, a lesser included must be included. I mean, lesser included instructions must be included anytime there's a homicide case. And the case in point on that is Craig v. Commonwealth, and we cited that in our brief.
That supports the argument that I'm presenting.
That supports the opposite. Absolutely, Your Honor. I understand. That supports the opposite. We're actually turning this on its head, and I don't know that any court has, I don't know if there's any case law or any precedent out there to say that if both sides decide that there are, or agree that there are no lesser included.
But
that,
you've told me earlier that there's nothing in the record you can point to that show that both sides agreed that no lesser included offense should have been given to the jury.
Other than the jury instruction itself on the charge. On the charge itself, Your Honor.
I mean, it looks to me, quite frankly, that it's an erroneous jury instruction and that it probably should have included that, and nobody caught it. And nobody caught it until after the jury. I mean, I don't think anybody caught it at trial. You were unaware that he'd been convicted of possession when you made your motion to strike.
Your Honor, I was unaware, and the surprise in the record, as well as pointing to the court earlier, I was unaware because my understanding of the instruction was it was an all or nothing. It was possession with intent to distribute, or it was not guilty. And therefore, when the court read possession only, that's the reason why I said, excuse me, and the clerk reread back what the verdict was. And so I was a bit confused and befuddled as to how they came to the conclusion of possession only.
So if you made the conscious decision to go all or nothing with the possession with intent to distribute, you then learn in the course of your motion to set aside that the conviction came back on possession alone, something that you specifically wanted to exclude from the consideration of the jury, why then don't you object to the jury's finding?
Your Honor, at the time that that happened, and in hindsight, I certainly would, if I were standing there at this point 2 years ago when this case was tried, I definitely would have done that. I was confused at the time, and the bullets were flying. It was in the heat of battle, and we didn't make the objection contemporaneous at that point, other than we believe that this is enough to preserve the issue. Certainly, if it's not, and the court says that this has not been properly preserved, then we believe that it's a miscarriage of justice if he's found guilty of something that the court or that the jury has not been instructed on.
Well, but again, we go back to what we were discussing earlier. You say it's a miscarriage of justice, but as Judge O'Brien has pointed out, there's no information in that lesser included offense instruction, no information that would have been provided by including the possession that was not provided in the other instructions. All the instruction would have said is that, and if you find that he possessed cocaine but did not have the intent to distribute, you shall find him guilty of possession of cocaine. That's all it would have said.
Well, Your Honor, I understand the court's position there. However, let's equate it to malicious wounding. Okay, in order to have malicious wounding, you have to have some sort of injury. Okay, possession, whether it be possession with intent to distribute or simple possession, you still have to instruct on possession.
Well, they did. Instruction number 12 is the instruction on what constitutes possession.
Yes, Your Honor, but as far as the instruction on the crime itself, there was no, again, as the court correctly points out, no waterfall instruction, which is we did that purposely, no possession with intent to distribute, and then simple possession and a not guilty. And we did that purposefully, and we believe that the verdict form was entered erroneously and that the jury found him guilty erroneously.
What is the remedy that you're seeking in this case?
Your Honor, the remedy that we're seeking, first and foremost, would be reversal and dismissal. In the alternative, though, we would ask the court to reverse and remand for further consideration or a retrial of this case.
On what?
On the issue of possession. Because the jury wasn't instructed on possession. And I see that my time is
you're
up
in
at
your
this
rebuttal.
Point.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Elizabeth Kiernan, and I represent the Commonwealth in this appeal. The issue before the court today, whether the defendant was properly convicted of a lesser-included offense, is barred by Rule 5E18. The defendant at no point in this proceeding brought this issue to the trial court's attention. This court has previously held in Day and then Edwards, the defendant is required to specify the error to the court. It's not sufficient to make a general statement of law. And in particular, in Day, a motion to set aside has to specify the ground on which you're moving to set the verdict aside. Here, that was sufficiency of the evidence. The laudatory purpose of the contemporaneous objection rule is to give the court an opportunity to correct errors if, in fact, there was an error in this case with the verdict form, and the trial court here was simply never given the opportunity to do that. As the court noted, there was an opportunity when the verdicts were read twice in open court that where the defendant was convicted of simple possession. In addition, the verdict form as well as the instructions were handled in chambers. Parties came out. There was no objection made on the verdict form at that time. And after the defendant was convicted, it was 2 months before he was sentenced, and there was no written motion or objection raised in that two-month period before the defendant was sentenced. And again, he was sentenced on simple possession. So under those circumstances, the defendant had the opportunity to bring this matter to the trial court's attention and failed to do so, and it's not before the court on appeal. This is further not a case where the ends of justice would apply. As the court has noted, the defendant in this case was not convicted of a non-offense. This is not a case where an element of the offense didn't occur. The jury was properly instructed on possession, and in this case distinguishes this case from the Jimenez case where no instruction was given at all. Even if there were further instructions that could have been given, the possession instruction was certainly sufficient for ends of justice purposes.
Ms. Kiernan, and I was looking real quick in the appendix, and,
sure.
I frankly don't recall. Was this a case, in this case, were the instruction, the discussion over the instructions on the record, or were they not transcribed, not recorded?
So if you look at appendix page, it's 451 to 455, I believe, is where the parties note that they're going off the record to discuss instructions in chambers, and the parties come back on the record, and the defendant raises an objection to the flight instruction because he was seen leaving the gas station, and I believe it was at Bojangles.
So we don't know what was said when the verdict instruction was discussed or the instruction that set out the offenses?
No, Your Honor. And the reasonable inference from that was all of the things that weren't objected to were agreed to, and that would include the verdict form in this case. It's also telling when the verdict does come back, appendix 510, 511, the Commonwealth doesn't object either to the simple possession verdict. So it's difficult to say that this verdict form was given against the will of both of the parties when we don't have anything in the record to demonstrate that that they were opposed to it. And certainly if they were, they had ample opportunity to bring that matter to the trial court's attention when the trial court could have done something about it. At this point, to raise the matter on appeal, it's almost a form of invited error to refuse the trial court the opportunity to correct that and then have the matter sent back. I'd be happy to answer questions from the court. We'd ask you to affirm the Pennsylvania
Thank you very
Supreme
much.
Court. Thank you.
Mr. Packy, you have some of your rebuttal remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Packy, just very briefly on the issue of ends of justice. We definitely noted in your brief that you made the assertion that, assuming it's not preserved, that the ends of justice should apply.
Yes, sir.
One thing I didn't see in there, and maybe you can point me to what I missed, was any explanation as to why the ends of justice would apply or why there was a miscarriage of justice.
Your Honor, again, basically on the brief itself, that that a jury that convicts on when not properly instructed. That's our argument, that it's a miscarriage of justice when the a jury again has convicted a defendant on something that it hasn't been properly instructed on.
But we have said time and again that in order for there to be a miscarriage of justice, at least the defendant, the evidence, the record has to affirmatively demonstrate that an element of the offense was not established, or when it comes to sentencing, that the defendant was sentenced for a crime he wasn't convicted of, or in excess of the range of punishment authorized by statute. None of those would apply in this case, would they?
I believe they would, Your Honor.
Why?
And it's our contention that they would.
Why?
Again, the jury instruction said possession with intent to distribute.
I understand, but explain to me what element of a miscarriage of justice were to consider here.
Because, Your Honor, again, the defendant was convicted and the jury found him guilty of a crime in which they weren't properly instructed. So the crime is possession with intent to distribute.
But it was a crime the evidence clearly established he committed.
We believe that the fact finder found that he didn't commit the crime possession with intent to distribute cocaine, because the fact finder found that there wasn't an intent to distribute.
But the evidence clearly established that he was guilty of possession of cocaine, or at least was sufficient to prove that.
Well, Your Honor, that was one of our, obviously we had that assignment of error too. That's not properly before the court. I will note for the court that there was possession, he was found guilty of possession with intent to distribute marijuana, okay? And if the court would look at the appendix and the jury instruction for that, there was a waterfall instruction, as the court pointed out before, which if you look, that supports our proposition that the jury was properly instructed, however given an erroneous verdict form. And that's the reason why, for those reasons, we're asking the court to reverse this opinion, reverse the ruling of the court.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honors.
We will greet counsel.